Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for being here tonight and really kind of last minute in gathering and praying. Thank you. Many of you I know were fasting today and going without caffeine, some of you, and food, others. And so thank you for making yourself hungry as we cry out to the Lord and hunger and thirst for Him and His wisdom and His knowledge. And I pray that you had a good day in crying out to the Lord. The thing that I was thinking of is like we should live our lives like this more often. Fasting and praying so intensely shouldn't be such a unique thing, not just when we're in need, but because we're always in need. So let's pray. I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we'll get started with our evening. And thank you again so much for being here. Lord Jesus, we lift up our hands and our hearts to you tonight, and we ask that you would be here among us with your Holy Spirit, His presence being powerful and mighty with us. We believe these are pivotal days in the life of our church, and we believe we'll look back perhaps even at this very meeting tonight and see how you moved in power and met us here and spoke to us and strengthened us and encouraged us through your people and through your word. And so tonight we pray that you would make your presence very known to us. Humble us, Father. Make us dependent upon you. Make us desperate for you. Help us to live with eager expectation of how you might work on the behalf of your church, but also just in the behalf of all of our lives as we want to follow you and be faithful to you. In Jesus' good name, we pray. Amen. Let me read you a couple passages as we get started, and then I'm going to kind of share the story of where we've been and where we are right now, and it'll take me a few minutes to unfold all that, and then I want to spend some time answering questions. We're going to kind of try to cap that at no more than about a half an hour for the whole thing, I hope. We'll see, because I really want to spend a good amount of time in prayer. But in order to pray with wisdom, I felt like I needed to update you all on everything in terms of where we stand. Does that sound good? All right, so Psalm 127 says this, and I really believe the Lord gave this psalm to me on a morning when I got up, and I follow a daily guide to prayer. And every week in that book, it has a psalm for the entire week. And 2 weeks ago, Psalm 127, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, was my psalm for the week. And I got up on a Monday morning feeling desperate for like, man, what's going on? And I got up, and the first thing I read was this: unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Isn't that a beautiful image of us as his beloved being able to sleep with rest, having hopefully labored well during the day, but going to bed knowing my anxious toil is not going to accomplish anything, that there's enough worry for tomorrow, I can put my head at rest and go right to sleep, knowing that my sovereign God has this. And I'll tell you, because it's my job to have to read and the Word and preach to you these messages, I've been sleeping really well at night. In fact, I have not had a single night without sleep because of this. A couple other reasons, but not this. Had a bad stomach ache the other night, but it wasn't related to this. So, you need some more detail. I'll give it to you. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. What does that mean? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. What do you think that means? God's in control. What else? It's God's church. What else? What's that? There's still work. There are still laborers, right? Yeah, that's good. I saw that this morning too. Yes. Yes.
We are powerless to do this thing by ourselves.
Yes.
What God builds lasts, and we want to be working on what he's really doing to make sure that our efforts are productive and matter for the kingdom and eternally.
Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? Amen. Trust him instead of our own efforts. Becky? Amen. Anybody else?
It's the difference of building in the flesh or building according to God's will.
Right. And so again, in desperate times, when the Lord sort of removes an easy path from you and you have to go to your knees and pray, we see these. But again, this really is how we live our lives day to day, whether we realize it or not. This is true when we build our house in like a literal house, whether that's in your neighborhood or whether it's the house of your business or whether it's the house of your family that you're discipling your children. Whatever project it is, this is true, but we don't realize it until we're desperate. And God is gracious to us at times to make us desperate, right? And so Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." So it's living with the sort of utter dependence upon the Lord. And so this has been a very good season for us as a pastors and elders and staff. It's brought us to our knees. It's caused us to cry out in prayer. It's caused us to unify. It's caused us to do a lot of neat things. And so thank you for your reflections on Psalm 127. Let's memorize that. I think in this season of our church's history, I really believe this is the passage that is defining what the Lord wants us to hear and believe right now. So getting you caught up, most of you know this part of the story, but let me kind of fill in from the beginning, and then I'll fill in all the rest as well. So for a couple years now, we have felt, when I say we, your pastors and elders and staff have been having this sense of like, it's getting close to time that we feel like it's time to move from this building. As you just said, the cloud is moving, to use Moses' imagery. It's just been a feeling that we've all had. Part of it's been because we've been crowded in two services off and on at times, painfully so. And also just this sense of, you know, we've believed that God might provide a better spot for us in terms of visibility and more space and that kind of thing for our ministry. So we've had that general feeling. And so for really more than 2 years, Jean can attest to this. When we moved in here initially, we already started praying for the future and praying that the Lord might eventually cause us to grow and enable us to take one of these suites next door to us, which was what happened. And so we've always been kind of anticipating, trying to believe what's next. And so that's been the case. But we also did not see what's happened to us happening. We really thought we would come to this according to our own terms and be able to negotiate with the landlord and that kind of thing. The landlord was based out of Seattle, is a man who owned this whole complex, and he really had great care for us. After we negotiated our first lease, he really didn't raise the rent hardly at all. Whatever extensions we wanted, he gladly gave us. He gave us a 4-month out clause so we could warn him and say, in 4 months from here now, we're walking away with no penalty whatsoever. And Gary, that's like unheard of, right? I mean, in a commercial real estate situation. So he gave us these really reasonable terms. And so it was a joy to work with him, and we knew we were getting a real deal. But he went bankrupt on this whole complex, not just this building, but the whole thing. And so now, as I've told you, the debt on this whole complex is now serviced by about 5 different banks, but the receiver is a firm, a law firm in Florida called LNR. And they have received this property. They're not cuddly, friendly folk. Like my wife, sweet Becky, emailed me yesterday and goes, "You need to tell the power," and she's serious, like, "You need to email the powers that be over there at that law firm and tell them that there's like 40 women depending on this building on Tuesday mornings, and there's children, and there's all," and I said, "Honey, they don't care, you know, they don't care at all. Like, we've tried to appeal to their better angels, and they don't care. They basically just are caring about the bottom line of filling this place," which is sort of, you would think they'd be glad to have us, but because we have not been willing to extend our lease and pay a lot more in rent, that's been the rub. So they want a long-term extension, not even a year or two, like well beyond that. And so we were not willing to do that, believing that the Lord was saying it was time to start looking beyond 1 or 2 years. So, currently, as you know, we have a lease through the end of October. And when you get into these receivership bankruptcy issues, they have to honor your lease. And in God's providence, our lease is up in just 2 months. And so this has been about an 8-month process. And all along, we've had these assurances. They're going to extend your lease. We really believe they'll extend your lease, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as of today, and I even spoke to one of the listing agents today, there's still no movement or change on that. So we've been busy at work trying to find both short-term options and long-term options. And at first, in looking at long-term options, none were coming available other than the ones many of you have also seen that we had already checked on. And I'll get to that in just a second. So we began to look, what are places, if we're out of here November 1st, where can we go and have church, even if it's sort of out of the box? We have a school that's willing to host us, and that's close by, and we have a church that's willing to host us. So school in the morning with lots and lots of work, and a church in the evening with less work, but still lots of work, but probably a lot less than the school. So not exactly ideal, right? We're used to having our own place, and we're used to having it 24/7. So, but that's, we had to find some just backup options, like, you know, if we're out of here, where are we going to go? And then meanwhile, as we were searching for long-term options, this is either a purchase on the one hand or a long-term lease on the other, then literally as a month ago, we didn't have any options. We have looked at lots of different things that you guys have emailed me about. I've gotten a lot of emails about Mosaica School, which is a great idea. We checked on that as soon as we heard about it. In fact, we heard it about 3 months ago from Nancy Branch, who saw that school, it's a charter school, was going out of business. That's the old Mads, if you've lived here a while, that was the Madstone Theater. It then became nothing and sat empty for years, and then a charter school named Mosaica built it out. It is 30,000 square feet, so even if they gave it to us, it's more square footage than we need right now and would be an extremely expensive lease payment, but it's built out for a school, and there's no large, from what I've been told, there's no large assembly area. Also, the owner said no because he's trying to lease it to another school. He still believes he can find another charter school to move in there. So for now, that's a no. Church Without Walls is something we looked at. That's a church on Warner and just past the 101. That is a church that moved on. They did really well from there. They grew there, and they were able to purchase another property in Mesa. They had that building way overvalued. They had it at $3 million. We think it's worth closer to $2 million. We kept touching base with them about the price. They kept saying, we're not budging on the price. We asked them if they'd be interested in leasing it to us. They said they would be, but it would be $15,000 a month. That's five more than we're paying here. And a $50,000 electrical improvement we would have to pay for on the front end. And that's just for a year lease because they're still trying to sell it. So that would be a huge capital investment in a year goes by so fast. The other thing is those of us that toured that building, which I did twice, I felt like the amount of work that was going to have to be invested to make that sort of something we would be excited about was going to be a lot. Meanwhile, another church has leased that out. We've looked at tons of other office parks. We've looked at, you know, the old Fry's building off Ray, which I believe has sold. And what we've found in this process is, we all see these big empty shopping centers. A lot of them don't want a church in there. They just don't. They kind of look at that as the death knell of their shopping center for whatever reason. The Goodwill across the street from Elliott, from Costco, is something I got excited about. Now it's a Goodwill, but it was empty about 6 months ago. Steve called, and they don't want to talk to us. So our commercial broker is a guy named Steve Fisher. He's a part of this church, and he is a servant. He has worked so tirelessly on this situation, and nearly every time I call him and say, what about that empty abandoned building by Costco? He said, yeah, I've called him five times. They're a no. So almost every idea I've had, he has already been on. So that's where we've stood up until about 3 weeks ago when Lorraine prayed her prayer, Lord, who should I call? And this name came to mind, and it just happens to be this guy named Mark Kreisen, who's a commercial broker and who's a good friend of theirs. And as she prayed, she felt like that's who she was supposed to call. So she calls this guy, and it turned out that very week he'd been made the leasing agent for this place. Mark then clarified for us, yes, you're not going to be able to extend your lease here. They don't want you to. They may give you a month-to-month situation if you find something else. Meanwhile, he had a property he was excited about and thought would work for us. We looked at it. I literally went over there seven times, and after seeing it, felt like it was not going to be the best. It would not be a big enough improvement in terms of visibility for us or accessibility. then, so that was on a Tuesday. Then on a Wednesday, though, Steve Fisher, our commercial broker, called to tell me that the building that I've had my eye on for years, that has been my number one, is now interested in talking to us. So I want to tell you about this place. I've told you about it before, actually. It's 1120 Warner. Oh, here it is. I saw a color change over here, and I was like, what's going on? Okay, this is the front of the building. It's literally right over here, across this park area, is Hardy. So the Cardinals training facility is literally right here. So you got the Cardinals training facility on this side, and you've got Honeywell literally adjacent on the other side. It literally couldn't be better in terms of visibility and accessibility. It's just about a mile away from IKEA. It's directly on Warner. So that's about 50 feet from Warner. Next, please. So that's standing at what would be the front door of this project looking out. That's the QT at Warner, where if we go there, you can get 89-cent 44-ounce drinks there. And all kinds of flavors. Anyway, there's a QT. What you see is just how close Warner is. It would be all-day visibility from Warner. Next. Very nice park next door. We're pretty certain that Honeywell owns that property, but no one really uses it. And the listing agent for this place is pretty certain that would be something that we could readily use for children's ministry and people gathering there. Another slide looking out the front. This is the front parking lot, and that's also Warner as well. This is inside. Now, here's sort of the story in this place. Literally for 2 or 3 years, this building has sat empty, and so I've had Steve call on it constantly. They were a firm no for over a couple years. Steve was calling about every 3 months, and they just said, no, we don't want a church, no, no, no. Then he called again this year, earlier in the year, I told you about this, and they said, you know what, we're maybe, if Circle K takes more, Circle K was in contract at the time, not to have a Circle K there, but for their administration and offices, they were going to take about 26,000 square feet, leaving about 24, and they said, we'll give you 24,000 square feet if you want it. That was a little more than we thought we needed or wanted, and anyway, we were still investigating it and pushing forward in that, but they called back and said, Circle K is out, therefore you're out. You know, you were contingent upon them taking the rest of the building. So fast forward 2 months, we go through the summer. This happened last spring that they were a no again. And Steve's, that week of the great prayer is when Steve said, you know what, I'm calling him again. And he got a totally different tune that week, interestingly. He changed his story and just said, you know what, we are interested now. The owner is interested now. He said, name your square footage. Let us know as long as it's above 15 or 18, I forget what he said, in terms of 1,000 square feet, then we'd be interested. So that's what we have been looking at in detail. This is another picture in the building. This is a little bit more than 20,000 square feet from, I'm standing like in a corner, and it's hard to describe it. Next. Okay, go. Yeah. Okay, and then where's the one with the entrance? Like you're looking from the entrance. Anyway, that's okay. This is if you were standing in the sanctuary, basically, looking out. This is on the far north side of the building. Like I said, it's just over 20,000 square feet. It's got two large bathrooms right there, straight in front. Now, you got to imagine this all somewhat built out, obviously. So it's just a shell right now. But this is sort of standing. This is in the corner of what would be the sanctuary, most likely, I should say, most likely. And then next, also kind of from that same northwest corner of the facility. And that is a very artistic picture that I took. There is a guy in our church named Reuben McCrory. Reuben is a really excellent architect who, when we first heard about this place several months ago and said that we were going to check it out, he came forward saying, I'm an architect and I'd love to do some preliminary drawings, just schematics, and see if it if I could make something work in that space. So he did that for us before, and then now we're looking on the other side of the building. He did it again. But I want to hand these out in terms of casting vision for you to see kind of what could happen at a place like this. I want you to know this is not inked at all. This deal has not been inked, if you guys could pass these out. Kind of one per family, if you don't mind. You know what? I think there's plenty. There's about 50, but if you're running dry or close to the end, then you can share some. But we don't have a deal with Warner at all yet. These drawings are not in. This is just a preliminary for him to kind of sketch out and say, these are some ideas of what might work in there. But it's been very exciting to us to see the kind of vision of what could happen in a building like that. After you guys get those, I'll keep gabbing for a minute, but so we're not exactly sure what size sanctuary we would start with, but this one is on the large side, but that would seat almost triple what we have in here now. And we certainly would not need that when we move in, but it would give lots of space. It's about 35 to 40% of the building, I think. Yeah. We have about 195 to 200 seats in here right now. This is literally every cushion chair that we own, and I don't know if you noticed, but we kind of did some arranging, and we took the back row out, and we pushed everything forward and kind of moved some stuff around. So this is about 200 chairs. And so this would be more than double that. Regardless of what we do, we would be wanting to build something closer to probably 500 chairs at least, if possible. Yeah, and so... Yes, thank you. They're roughly the same idea, but with some stuff moved around. Again, Reuben would not want anything tied to this, and so this is just our first run at it to kind of say, like, all right. In fact, once we talk to the city in greater detail, they're going to tell us other things that are required to be in there, like there's probably a gender-neutral bathroom that will have to be in there, that kind of thing. That's true. So here's where we stand with this. So this fella over there, Rick Lee, said, yes, we're interested in talking to you. And so we've been doing our due diligence as much as possible. We've already talked about rent structure, very similar to what they talked about previously. And it is not inexpensive, but it's not unreasonable either. They're providing in this plan, and this is all verbal, so nothing has been worked out in detail, but verbally what they're saying is they would commit $35 a square foot in terms of tenant improvements. That's called TI. So if you hear me say TI, that means tenant improvement. So we would need to build that thing out. And they're providing $35 a square foot, so you mathematicians know that at 20,000 square feet, that's $700,000. That's actually quite a bit of money to put into something like that. We have had three contractors go see the building last week. The first one destroyed all of our hopes by coming in with a really high figure. And then the other two kind of looked at it and said, the bones are here. We don't see this as a super expensive project. We really think you could get into this with a tight budget. We could do pretty close to this 700,000 number. One guy gave us a verbal, yeah. Yes, yes. One guy came back with a verbal, not a verbal, but it was not a feasibility study. This is just a general contractor with lots of experience. This individual just was, he was the builder that just finished Grace Bible Church. Grace Bible Church was a church that met at Valley Christian High School. They then purchased Terry's consignment by Fuddruckers off Elliott, and it's a 30,000 square foot building. It was about half built out, and he just finished a project in there for $500,000, and then he gave us a tour of it as well, and we were impressed with his work, and he came back with a price of the build out being around $635,000, on this plan. We have another. That's right. So when you hear that number, understand that's just construction, and we're not trusting that number yet because this is just a guy walking through and then sending us an email later in the day. But another contractor is giving us a free feasibility study, and he is going to get back with us on more details of what he thinks the project would cost. We're pressing them to stay as close to that 700 number as possible, because regardless of what that number is, there will be a lot of extras that will have to be purchased, like sound equipment, lighting, all kinds of furniture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and making it, the welcome center, that kind of thing, and which will be amazing. And so there would be a lot of expenses. So when you hear that number, this will not be free. We won't be able to just walk in. We will need to raise money to do this. There's no doubt. And we're working towards coming back to you with a number saying we think we can do this or not. And if we do think we can do this, this is how much we believe we would need to raise from the body in order to move forward with this project. Just so you know, I'm just going to give you our best guess estimates on that. We're thinking on the low side, $200,000, and probably on the high side, $354,000, but somewhere in between that, probably $200,000 to $300,000, Lord willing. But I hesitate to say that because it could be higher. But we've been really encouraged by these two contractors in believing that they could make it look nice on the one hand, but also economical on the other, and get us in there. And so lastly, I'm going to share this, sort of a sequence of things and how it might play out. And then I'm going to open it up for a time of question and answer. So as we press into this thing, and we're really praying that we can get some answers just in the next couple weeks. So there's still things that still need to be decided in doing this due diligence. Can we afford this thing? Will the city give us a parking variance, that kind of thing? The air conditioning units have to be checked, and all the mechanical stuff needs to be looked at. If everything is a yes and we move forward and we're believing that we can afford that, we're going to come back with all the details on that with you. If that's a yes, then what we're going to do is we're going to plead with LNR, this is that law firm in Florida, to go month to month with us here so that we don't have to leave. That would be, we think, the best case scenario for us, obviously, to stay here. We still can't fathom why they wouldn't go for that. Like, everything in terms of reason would make sense for them to take that offer. We would offer, let us pay the same rent. You can kick us out in 30 days. We can leave in 30 days. Let us just go month to month. Because right now, our clause in our contract would say something along the lines of, if we stay without negotiating something different, we would pay like 150 to 180% of our current rate. So that would be our first priority. If Warner is a yes, then that would be our first priority. Our second priority at this point probably is to go to a church in the evening, believe it or not. The school in the morning, as great as that is, to have morning worship in 6 to 8 months, as we've done our due diligence on that, and we have all kinds of flow charts and like needs, would require a lot of purchasing of equipment and literally a 20-person team or so to set up every morning. We'd be setting up over 400 chairs every morning, taking them all down, total sound system, all the classrooms. And the school wants us there. They're offering a very gracious price, et cetera. And so therefore, follow my flow here if you can. If Warner is a no, though, for some reason, we believe for the meantime, the short run, again, we'd try to go month to month here, most likely. And then at some point, though, we'd probably be looking at moving into that school until we find the next thing that God is leading us to. We would tabernacle like the folks in the Old Testament. We don't want to tabernacle. But sometimes God calls his people to do that. And he teaches them a lot in the midst of it. So I'm going to stop there. I would like to take 10 or 15 minutes for questions and then get about praying.